Blog Talk Radio. Of this show is for us to get a deeper understanding of the Word of God and that He may nourish our hearts and minds with His love. Before we get into today's study, I want to pray. Lord, I want to thank You first for making a way for this program to air to begin with. I also want to thank You for every single ear that is tuned in to hear this program. I ask You, Lord, to use these airwaves to bring us together as that one body, one spirit, and one mind that You have intended us to be from the beginning. I ask You, Lord, to go to each person listening and open up their hearts and minds. And if they have any sins that could keep this message from entering their hearts, I ask You to forgive them. I ask You to anoint the words that pass through these lips so they will bring You glory and honor and edify the body of Christ. And all this I ask in Jesus' name. I thank You, Father, for giving me this opportunity to serve You and Your children in whatever capacity You have enabled me to. If you have any prayer requests, comments, or questions, you can email me at jcoverkommersministries@yahoo.com. I will be happy to answer your questions to the best of my ability. And if I do not have the answers, I will be the first to tell you so. But I also will do my best to find out the answers for you. My website has many of these teachings in writing and on audio, and it is at www.jcoverkommersministries.com. Many of these teachings heard here on the radio are also available in video format on the internet at www.youtube.com/ncoverkommers. Again, that is www.youtube.com/ncoverkommers. I have only one goal for this program, and that is, if possible, that not one person hearing this will spend eternity in the flames of hell. Please take the time now to gather together a Bible, some paper, and a pen, so you can take notes as we go along. I ask you to do this for two reasons. One, so you'll have references you can refer to later on, but also so you can prove to yourself whether these teachings are true or not. Our guide is the Word of God. So if I teach you something that does not line up with that word 100%, I ask you to tell me. We all need correction. And if I teach you something wrong, it could cost me my soul. So please tell me. The purpose of this study is to find out what the fruit was that Adam and Eve ate in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. These trees were good for food and pleasant to the sight. And along with them was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Keeping his word, his commandments, gives us eternal life. We know him when we keep his commandments. But if we do not keep his word, we are considered to be a liar, without the truth. Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He was given a choice. He could either believe what God told him and obey it, or he could disobey God's commandment. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The serpent caused Eve to question what God told them, tempting her with what he made her believe that God was holding back from them. He made it look good to her that she would be like God if she ate. But the result of eating the fruit was shame and fear. That is not the kind of fruit they were led to believe it was. But then it was too late. He tempted her with knowledge. In the garden was the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. So let's take a look at what the Bible calls knowledge. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If Eve had feared God, she would not have disobeyed. No enticing of the serpent would have turned her away from God's commandment. God's knowledge leads us to life. The serpent's knowledge leads to death. Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. This sounds just like what happened in the Garden of Eden. God gave them a commandment to follow, but they chose to disobey God and obey the serpent. So they indeed ended up eating the fruits of their own doing, which got them thrown out of the garden. What they chose as knowledge was not the knowledge they thought it was. Isaiah 44, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. When you compare the knowledge of man with the knowledge that comes from obeying the Word of God, there is just no comparison. God's knowledge leads to life. The serpent's knowledge leads to death. Isaiah 47, verse 10. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, None seeth me. thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Here we find that there is wisdom and knowledge that perverts. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Again in these scriptures, he tells us to forget not my law. Keep the commandments, and doing so will add length of days, long life, and peace. We are to bind mercy and truth about our neck, and write them upon the table of our hearts. And in so doing, we find favor and good understanding. We are to trust in the Lord, and not on our own understanding. In verse 13, the result of finding the Lord's wisdom and understanding is that we will be happy and find the tree of life. It is not just knowledge, but it is His knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Sound wisdom and discretion are life unto thy soul. But along with this, we see the curse that goes along with the wicked, just like when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit they were commanded not to eat. The result was the ground was cursed. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We are to bear fruit for him. Psalms 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it, upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. When wickedness is in the midst, people mourn, because of the voice of the enemy, and because of the oppression of the wicked. You see wrath, hatred, fearfulness, and trembling. Iniquity is present, and it pains the heart to see it. But the worst is the terrors of death. Along with this is windy storm and tempest, violence and strife. And when wickedness is in the midst, so also is mischief and sorrow. Just like in the Garden of Eden, in the midst was the voice of the serpent telling them lies. And because of their willingness to follow him, the rest came automatically. The choice was not just which fruit to eat, but which voice to listen to. If they had obeyed the voice of God, they would have never had to leave the garden. Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Verse 9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Verse 19. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Verse 21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. I want to repeat verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. There was righteousness that sprung up in the garden, and along with that, perverseness. They had to choose which one they wanted to serve. They chose to eat of the fruit of perverseness.
Hello there, this is Cheryl. We're now open for callers for anyone that wants to call in and have any comments on the teaching that you just heard, or if you have questions or prayer requests that you would like to bring forth, you may call 1-646-478-5014. I'm waiting for my co-host to get on. Hopefully she'll be on here pretty quick. Let me see if I can rouse her up by going through Skype. I just wrote to her and told her to go ahead and call in now. Her name is Lee, so hopefully she'll be able to join us pretty quick. But in the meantime, if anyone wants to call in, I'd sure welcome your calls. This teaching was on the fruit from the tree that was in the Garden of Eden. I know a lot of people have thought that when God talks about that fruit, that it was actually a physical fruit that they ate from. The Bible gives us pictures of the physical as well as the spiritual. Oh, it looks like I have a caller. Let me see if I can get him on here. Hello, this is J.C.
Hi,
Overcom.
Hi, this is Lee.
Hi, Lee, you made it. Praise God. I was just telling people that if they wanted to call in, that they're more than welcome to call in and talk to us. And the topic that we're talking about is the fruit that was on that tree. And I was just telling them that the Bible gives us a picture of the spiritual fruit as well as the physical fruit. And in the Garden of Eden, from what I can gather, it was spiritual fruit that they ate of, because the words that came out of God's mouth are his seeds, and the words that come out of the serpent's mouth was his seeds, and they partook of the words that was in the Garden of Eden. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
I was thinking when you were talking about the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and I thought, how are our fruits the tree of life? So that was
well. If you look at a piece of fruit, for example, a peach, inside that peach is a seed. and so we are God's fruit, and we plant seeds in others as the word that comes out of our mouth. So it would be like if you have the tree of life and each of us are parts of his fruit, each of us is a fruit from that tree, we each have our own seeds that we plant too. And when we speak the word of God into other people's hearts, we plant those seeds of life in them. Just like the seeds from the enemy, if that was the tree that we came from to begin with, when we plant the seeds that he has put in us, in others, we end up reproducing for him instead of God. Is that kind of what you were talking about?
Yes, and then I thought, how do we become the tree of life? By giving out the seeds to others, to act in the place of Jesus Christ?
Well, it's basically a growth process. You know, you plant a seed in the earth, and that seed has to, first off, it has to break that shell off of it, and that shell would be kind of like our flesh that has to die. And in order for a seed to grow, you have to water the seed, first off, and the water would be like a duplicate for the Word of God. Because the Bible talks about the Word of God washing us, and the Word being the living waters from God. And so the Word of God applied to the seed would soften that outer shell, and that's what helps us to die to our flesh. Because as we get into the Bible, God will convict us through His Word of things that we're doing that don't line up with the Word of God. And so the Word of God is coming in, and it's washing us a little bit at a time, and it softens up that flesh so that that flesh can eventually come away from that seed, and we can crucify that flesh and let that flesh die and fall away, just like that outer seed or that outer shell to the seed. Eventually, as that new growth comes out of that seed, it'll push up through the ground, and it heads, all the seeds head toward the light, which is a duplicate for us wanting to grow closer to Jesus. And as that seed comes up through the ground, it wants to find more light. And that is Jesus that we are looking for as we come up through that ground. But as that seed comes up, that sprout comes up through the ground, a lot of times they'll still have that outer shell attached, and that outer shell, as it comes up, will fall away. And our flesh needs to be crucified so that it will also fall away, so that there won't be anything left but that new growth that God plants inside of us. And eventually, as that growth continues to grow in us, as we apply more and more of the Word of God, which would be like watering that plant, the sun, which is the light of God, would also help that plant to grow. So it's like a duplicate for the physical plant growing and our spiritual seed growing inside of us. And the Word of God being applied to it is the light. The Word of God is the water that nourishes it. The Word of God is the fertilizer that makes its roots grow deeper and farther down in. And God wants us to be rooted and grounded in the truth. And so our roots are supposed to go deep into the Word of God and seek Him, just like the Lord just hit me with that. Just like the roots of a plant go deep into the earth to seek nourishment and more water from the earth, we are supposed to dig deep into the Word of God and let our roots spread out throughout the Word, not just stick on one scripture or a couple scriptures here and there, but let our roots spread out throughout the whole book. And I'm seeing this as I'm telling you. It's awesome how our roots are supposed to absorb all of the Word of God so that we can be nourished the way God wants us to be nourished so that we can grow and be a tree of life so that we can plant those seeds in others. Does that help any?
Yes, that's good.
Praise God. If there's anybody else that would like to call in, if anybody has a question, you're sure more than welcome to. We'd love to hear from you, or if you have a testimony or anything like that, we'd sure like to hear from you. That number again is 1-646-478-5014. So please call. And hopefully I'll catch you when you do call. Hi, Tower Painter. I see Tower Painter is on here. Praise the Lord. Glad to see you. I'm going to write to him real quick. Where our chat is open also. I'm kind of new at this. So bear with me, okay? Let's see. Oh, I wrote power painter instead of tower painter, so I need to fix that.
It is power painter, isn't it?
His name is Power Painter, and he has a program on Blog Talk Radio also. I'm going to write and tell him to call in if he would like to. Well, praise the Lord. There's somebody else on here called Refuge 1827, and there's a minister, another minister on here, and I would love to hear from any of you. You're more than welcome to call in if you have any questions or comments on the teaching concerning the fruit that was eaten in the Garden of Eden. The Lord give me some scriptures on the apple of his eye, because a lot of people are under the impression that the actual fruit that they ate was an apple. And somebody just said that the volume's gone. Are you able to hear me, Lee?
Yes. Fine.
Okay, maybe it's their volume that's gone. I don't know. I'm hoping that we're still on okay. You're able to hear it through the program, Lee, or not?
No, I had to turn off the program to listen on the phone.
Okay. All right, that's okay. Don't turn it on because it might mess things up. Anyway, a lot of people are under the impression that that the tree that was in the Garden of Eden was actually an apple tree. Well, spiritually speaking, God does talk about the apple in the Bible several times, and we're going to hit those scriptures, but he's always comparing himself to that apple. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, is the first one we're going to hit. Let's see if we need to back up to get it in context. Yeah, we'll back it up to Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. Oh, somebody else is trying to call in. This is a 608 number. I think you're on air if you'd like to say something.
Hello, you asked me to call in. This is your friend, the Power Painter. My name is Shane, though.
Good to hear from you. This is Cheryl.
Well, nice to meet you. I didn't get to hear what you were teaching about tonight, so I kind of caught you at the end here.
That's okay. It's on the fruit that was in the Garden of Eden. And the teaching was basically trying to give them a spiritual picture of what the fruit was that they ate of. And I went through trying to show them that it's the words that they received into their heart. They, instead of them believing what God said, they chose to believe what the serpent said. And the words themselves are the seeds that got planted in their heart. And they became his servant through that. And then we were going to go to some scriptures in Deuteronomy 32 that talk about the apple. Because there's several scriptures that actually talk about the Lord being as an apple tree. Do you have any comments on that, or should we go ahead and go on into that?
The only comment I would have is the Bible is, being inspired by God, it should be amazing, but the biggest thing I take from the Garden of Eden story, or the thing that affects me the most, I guess, mentally, is that God took the time to cover them after they were out of the garden, and that was such a foreshadowing of the covering that was to come with the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. For every Bible refuter I've ever met, I don't know how you could give a fair reading to the Bible and say, oh, well, a bunch of guys just wrote that stuff down.
Yeah, that's just it. His word is so perfect. It's just what we do through the studies. God has started showing me the patterns that's in his word and how you'll see a scripture in one spot, like you were talking about the foreshadowing. Each scripture will match up with another scripture somewhere. It's like he's got a piece of a puzzle in each one of the verses of the Bible, and it is so awesome when you start putting them together. From Genesis to Revelation, you know, a lot of people want to stick with just the New Testament or just the Old Testament or just the Torah. And we need, you know, like I was saying, we need our roots to go deep into the Word of God. We need to seek out all the scriptures, because that's when we're going to get the whole picture. It's not just in one spot of the Bible, but it's throughout. And we need to be able to see it all at one time. Excuse me. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. This is going to deal with some of the apple scriptures. And if anybody has anything that they'd like to add while we're doing this, just go ahead and interrupt me, because I want God to have his will be done here. This is not about me in any way. This is about the Word of God and him having his way in each one of our hearts. And may his will be done here tonight. Verse 8 of Deuteronomy 32 says, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Here it's talking about Jacob as being as the apple of his eye. Okay, now we're going to go to Psalm 17, verse 7, to try to get it in the context a little bit. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. There's that covering you were talking about. It's the shadow of his wings. The Word of God is what ends up covering us. It swallows up our mortality with his immortality. The more and more we allow the Word of God to come into us and consume us, consume our sinful flesh and replace it with his image, he ends up covering us with his righteousness as a result. And in the end, mortality is swallowed up of immortality, because it literally consumes our flesh. He is so awesome. Now let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs is awesome. Proverbs 7, and we'll start in verse 1. And you'll notice a lot of times I like to do word searches, because if you want to know what God means by a particular word in the Bible, the best thing I have found to do is look up that word from Genesis to Revelation. And then when you put all those scriptures together, you're going to start seeing a picture that God wants us to see from his word. Proverbs 7, verse 1 says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Okay, now we go to Proverbs 25. So it's showing a little bit that the Word of God sounds like the apple of his eye also. And I think Jacob was referred to like the apple of his eye, because Jacob was willing to keep his word and obey. Let's see, Proverbs 25. Let's back it up. Okay. Verse 9. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. So people that think that the fruit in the garden was an apple, in kind of a way, it was like a spiritual apple, because the word of God, here it says a word fitly spoken, is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. And it was the commandments of God that they were supposed to follow in the Garden of Eden. Instead, they decided to follow the words of the serpent instead. And they became his servant because they allowed those words to come into their heart. And as soon as they were willing to serve sin, he became their master. And they ended up rebelling against God instead. Okay, now Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 1 to keep it in context. And I think this is talking about Jesus. Verse 1 says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Jesus' words are sweet to our taste. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the way we do that is by tasting the word. And when we do that, we're actually consuming his flesh. Because they are, the words that he speaks to us are spirit, and they are life. Any comments? Have right at it, anybody.
I have something that might be of interest to you. You know, the word that they actually translated to apple comes from the root word. For the Hebrew is actually kind of the word for pupil of the eye.
Really?
Is where,
cool.
Yeah, well, the Hebrew word for apple, or as they translate it, is baw-baw. And what that means is the hollowed point of the eye. And they translate it that way because that pupil, I guess that's how they saw that. And then other translations say, well, like Zechariah 2:8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Yeah, that word apple, the literal word would be baw-baw in the Hebrew, and that means the hollowed point of the eye, or a gate. That's what I'm saying about the Bible. It works so well. The guys who translated it, particularly the King James, did such a good job in relating it to the English language that I would say that the King James could be, you know, considered authoritative, even though it's not in the original language.
Yeah, I feel the same way because the patterns that the Lord has shown me in the King James, they're not in the other Bibles. They have changed words in different places, and so the consistency, the patterns are gone. Because if you change a word, say for example the word apple, if you change it to something else somewhere along there, the picture is not going to be the same, and so the image is actually going to be changed. So thank you very much for that. You know what you said about the pupil, we're supposed to take the word in through our eyes, and the word of God says that if thine eye be evil, I think it says, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Let me see if I can find that.
Jesus said, if your eye cause you to sin, pluck it out.
Yeah. Okay, let me see if I can find this. I've got a program on here that I can find scriptures pretty fast. Yeah, here it is, Matthew 6, verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And you know, there is only one way that the light that is in us can be darkness, because the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if we're putting a word in us that is not the true word of God, but it's actually a lie from the devil, we have put his light in us in place of God's light. And so it's actually darkness instead. That's the only way that scripture can be fulfilled. If therefore the light that is in me be darkness, how great is that darkness? And he comes to us as an angel of light. You know, all these people that come up with these other gospels, a lot of them had angels that appeared to them. Muhammad had an angel come to him. Joseph Smith had an angel that come to him. And Joseph Smith actually calls what he had another gospel. And so there you go. And if an angel, let me see if I can find that verse, talks about an angel bringing another gospel.
I think that's third Galatians. Galatians, the third chapter. Maybe the fourth chapter.
If you find it before I do, holler.
Well, I'm doing it the old-fashioned way.
Galatians 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That curse is automatic, because if it's somebody else's words instead of God's, the curse follows, and that's why they were cursed in the Garden of Eden, because they believed his words instead of God's. The fruit of rottenness as a result. Wow. Okay, let's go to Song of Solomon 7. Wait a minute, I think I might have missed one. Oh, verse 5 of Song of Solomon 2. I don't think I got that one, because that was another one with apple in it. It says, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. And you know what? They have said since I was a kid that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Now, I wonder if that didn't have something to do with the Word of God. I just wonder if apples really don't have some healing properties to them because of it. Okay, let's go to Song of Solomon 7, verse 8. And this is talking about the smell in the nose. And I think this is the bride of Christ that this is talking about. Correct me if I'm wrong here. It says, verse 8 of 7 says, I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breath shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples. That would be like the Spirit of God. And a lot of times some people have the gift of smelling, and they actually can smell different fragrances. I had somebody with me one time when we were doing spiritual warfare, and they actually smelled the dead, rotten flesh of the devil that was in the room with us. And other people have told me how they've smelled flowers, and I just wonder if that wasn't kind of an apple smell that they were smelling because of what the scriptures say. Did you ever hear any of that, you guys?
I haven't, I'm hearing you say it now.
Well, each of us have senses in the spirit, just like we do in the flesh. There's, because God smells, you know, he smells the incense that goes up to him. He has eyes, he has ears, and so there are gifts of the Spirit of God that actually are gifts of hearing, so that we can hear him speaking to us. Gifts of smelling. When you lay hands on somebody, sometimes you'll feel some pain that they are suffering. And so there are duplicates in the spirit and that kind of match the things that our body does. And we have to kind of get in tune to those different gifts that God has given us. And he trains us. The more we use the gifts, the more we get used to them. Okay, let's see. Solomon 8, verse 5 is the next one. And we got about 5 minutes left. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Then it says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Notice the word seal in there, a seal upon thine heart. And we are sealed with the Spirit of God. Okay. Lamentations 2:18 is the next one. We got two more after that, looks like. And it says, their heart crieth unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. There's that apple of the eye again. Cool. See if we can get these others in here.
In that sense, that the literal interpretation could also be read daughter.
Cool.
The original word is bath, and that could be read as daughter, and another way for them to say that would be the apple of my eye. You'll see that that's not usually appointed to sons, but to daughters, and in a larger sense, the bride of Christ is
absolutely
as a feminine. Yeah, you know.
Yep. A lot of the Song of Solomon and Lamentations and the Psalms, a lot of times they're talking about the bride of Christ, and we really don't, unless we have spiritual understanding, we're not going to see that most times. Okay, let's go to Joel 1, verse 12. Okay. It says, the vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. That's a lack of the Spirit of God. Okay, and the last one is Zechariah 2:8. And it says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Amen. Awesome. Anybody got any comments? Lee, you still there? We got about 2 minutes.
No, I'll wait and see if Power Painter has something.
1 minute remaining.
I would just say thank you for being here, and I hope God blesses and keeps you, and keep doing your show, because more people will start listening to it.
All right. And, well, thank you very much for joining us. This was a blessing. You really brought some good stuff in here. God bless you, all
God
of you.
God bless you as well.
Thanks to everybody that joined us.
Yes, thank you. Bye. Carol. Very good. Good night.
And every day, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart
had no fault. Still in love, he proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true. And what I thought seems so impossible, I've seen.
I think if I didn't just get rid of it. To leave me alone so I can do this. Oh. He was there till way to the end. Wow. Oh, that was stupid. And why doesn't it show him?
teaching as dying and calling trip. Blog Talk Radio. The lump is also holy by faith. We have faith in the Word of God. And because we have faith in the Word of God, when we put it into our hearts, it grafts us into that tree. The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in, verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, the Jews were naturally the family of God. But because when Jesus Christ came,
another one.
Thank you. Blog Talk Radio.
Women, y'all, we got to find ourselves in more prayer. We got to. I found myself the other morning. God woke me up. I got on up. I said, thank you, God, for allowing me to get up. And I laid up. I wasn't in prayer 6 minutes. And I was back up. So I looked at that clock. I said, this don't make no sense. This does not make it. Knowing I had tapped in, knowing that I hadn't waited and tarried at the altar of God's foot, come on, waiting to hear from it. I didn't let it pick me up and caress me and tell me that I'm his own. I didn't wait 6 minutes.